been violated by the signers.
In 1963, 78 Americans died in Vietnam, and the civil rights casualty lists grew ever longer. On the same day that Medgar Evers was gunned down in front of his home in Jackson, Mississippi, June 11, 1963, a drama of historic proportions was unfolding on the campus of the University of Alabama. Governor George Wallace confronted the Deputy Attorney General of the United States, Nicholas Katzenbach, on the steps of the registration building at Tuscaloosa. Armed with a presidential order, Katzenbach's mission was to escort two black students into the university.
Wallace,
yes, sir.
I am the Deputy Attorney General of the United States. I am here to,
accompanied by
the United States Attorney for the Northern District of Alabama,
and by the Marshal
for the Northern District of Alabama, and I have with me here a proclamation signed by the President of the United States, which calls upon you to cease obstruction of justice in this state. The proclamation, Governor, was signed by the President within the last hour.
Now, you make your statement, but we don't need you to make a speech. You make your statement.
I will make my statement, Governor. I was in the process of making my statement. And I'm asking from you an unequivocal assurance that you will not bar entry to these students, to Vivian Malone and to James Hood, and that you will step aside peacefully and do your constitutional duty as governor of this state.
I have a statement to read.
Wallace, who had been impatient with the rhetoric of the Justice Department, then read a 10-minute proclamation of his own.
As governor and chief magistrate of the state of Alabama, I deem it to be my solemn obligation and duty to stand before you, representing the rights and sovereignty of this state and its people. The unwelcome, unwanted, unwarranted, and force-induced intrusion upon the campus of the University of Alabama, the day of the might of the central government, offers fight.
The president watched the confrontation on television, then mobilized the National Guard. And 3 hours later, Wallace stepped aside with these words.
I am very grateful to the people of Alabama for the calm and strength that they've exercised in this crisis which we have faced. We are winning in this fight. We shall now return to Montgomery for the purpose of continuing this fight, this constitutional fight.
Today, a Negro is attending a state-supported institution in every one of our 50 states. But the pace is very slow.
Mahalia Jackson belted out spirituals as 200,000 civil rights marchers from 50 states jammed the area stretching from the Lincoln Memorial across the reflecting pool almost to the Washington Monument, August 28, 1963. The route to Washington was a roadmap of the struggle that began when Governor Faubus stopped token integration at Little Rock High School. The sit-in at the Nashville lunch counters. The bus boycott in Montgomery. Governor Barnett at Ole Miss. Leander Perez at Plaquemine Parish. Bull Connor, his fire hoses and police dogs in Birmingham, Alabama. They were all there that day. A. Philip Randolph, who had summoned them to Washington, Charles Evers in place of his slain brother Medgar, Martin Luther King Jr., Roy Wilkins, Whitney Young, Bayard Rustin, Aaron Henry, Floyd McKissick. There were many speeches that day, but one speech would always be remembered.
At this time, I have the honor to present to you the moral leader of our nation, Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
I say to you today, my friend, I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood? I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream. My four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My Country, 'Tis of Thee." Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. So let freedom ring from the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom ring from the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring when we capture. When we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last."